Imagine growing up in a home where dinner conversations are punctuated by gunshots and family business means organized crime. This is Daisy Hate's reality, the younger sister of London's most feared crime lord, Julian. Her world exists in a delicate balance between medical studies and family loyalty, between healing wounds and witnessing their creation. One evening, she's calmly stitching up one of Julian's men after a dinner table dispute ended with a bullet wound, the metallic scent of blood mixing with lingering pasta aromas. Just another Tuesday for Daisy. Her classmates wonder why she never joins study groups, unaware that her last name carries both privilege and prison. In this dangerous dance between normalcy and violence, Daisy finds herself falling for the one person she shouldn't, Christian Hems, son of another powerful family and supposed just sex arrangement. What began as steamy driving lessons in his Range Rover has evolved into something neither will admit, even as Christian's whispered baby in intimate moments makes her heart race despite her determination to keep emotions out of their arrangement. Their relationship exists in a carefully constructed box labeled just sex. No jealousy, no emotions. 4 months of stolen moments maintain a precarious balance. When Christian's phone buzzes with messages from Kelsey Blonde or Natalie Boobs, Daisy feigns indifference. Yet she's secretly memorizing his breathing patterns and facial expressions, details that contradict their arrangement. Julian's disapproval complicates matters. Considering Christian a fuckboy, he once threw him against a wall upon discovering their relationship. When Julian demanded to know what she was doing with Christian, Daisy's simple response, having sex, concealed her growing feelings. Both play their roles, she as the untouchable crime princess, he as the carefree playboy, while something deeper develops beneath. Every unguarded moment erodes their pretense. Their bodies reveal truths their words won't admit, creating tension that flows through every encounter, threatening to expose vulnerabilities neither wants to face. In a life defined by danger, Daisy finds sanctuary in her laundry room, a dream space Julian built with high-end Samsung appliances and a folding table that mysteriously receives fresh tulips daily. It's her momentary escape from reality. The room holds deeper significance in their history. When Daisy was a child, Julian would bring her there during situations, running machines loudly to mask sounds of family business she shouldn't hear. As she sorts whites one evening, Daisy contemplates sin and redemption. Julian embraces original sin as his get-out-of-jail-free card, believing everyone is born sinful, so he's simply following his nature. This question becomes painfully literal when she discovers Julian's white t-shirt stained with too much blood for its source to still be alive. The symbolism is unmistakable. Some stains never come out. The laundry room becomes a metaphor for Daisy's attempts to compartmentalize her existence, even as she recognizes the futility. In the machine's rhythmic hum, she finds temporary peace, but the blood-stained fabric reminds her that some things can never truly be washed away. Christian's growing feelings for Daisy are complicated by unresolved emotions for Magnolia Parks, who arrives seeking her boyfriend BJ. Their history is tangled. Magnolia loved Christian before falling for BJ during a summer in St. Bart's, when Christian fell for her. When Magnolia drops an M&M down her shirt and Christian retrieves it, their tension resurfaces. Despite Daisy texting him to come over, he stays with Magnolia. The next morning, she asks if Feven is better in bed than her. Christian reminds her they never slept together. Technically true, but misleading. They explored everything except penetrative sex, each attempt ending with Magnolia crying because she wanted BJ. BJ and I both love her, and neither of us can do anything about it, Christian admits. His feelings for Magnolia shadow his relationship with Daisy, revealing his pattern of pursuing unavailable women. With Magnolia, he was second to BJ. With Daisy, he competes with her family loyalty and ex-boyfriend Romeo, protecting himself while still experiencing the intensity of unrequited love. Julian Hates operates in sophisticated criminality. Legally an arms dealer, he controls most channels for produce and contraband on the British Isles. His true passion is art, both appreciating and stealing it. His office displays priceless works by Van Gogh, Munch, and Kandinsky, all of precarious legality. When client Ezra Brown wants to steal Gustav Klimt's Adam and Eve, worth approximately $100 million, Julian quotes 50% plus costs. Despite his criminal enterprise, Julian follows a strict moral code established by Daisy. No human trafficking, sexual assault, or crimes involving children. Violators end up dead. Art represents Julian's preferred criminal activity, intellectually stimulating, requiring finesse rather than force, and relatively victimless. He shared this passion with Daisy through private tutorials from world-class curators. This creates a fascinating contradiction in Julian, who displays extreme violence when necessary, yet sophisticated appreciation for humanity's artistic achievements, a duality extending to his protective yet dangerous relationship with Daisy. Christian plans a special date for Daisy, a normal day, experiencing mundane activities that represent an unattainable fantasy for someone who's lived entirely under security protection. Their adventure begins at a petrol station, where Daisy pretends to know how to fuel Christian's G-Wagon before he helps her choose premium fuel. At IKEA, which Daisy finds horrible and maze-like, they steal kisses while she marvels at the concept of self-assembly furniture. As they playfully discuss their dream kitchen, Daisy envisions a colonial-style house outside London, allowing herself to imagine a future beyond her current reality. For the finale, Christian rents an entire laundromat, knowing from Julian that she's always loved laundry rooms. Dancing to Home by Edith Whisker among washing machines, Daisy realizes she's completely tethered to him and wonders if perhaps he feels the same. Daisy's moral framework collapses when Detective Tiller presents evidence of Julian kidnapping Ezra Brown's children, photos of a murder victim, payment records, and images of the kidnapped children. Despite initial denial, she can't ignore the truth. This revelation shatters her worldview. She'd justify Julian's crimes by believing their family rules established ethical boundaries. Now she faces her brother's descent into indefensible darkness. In her moral crisis, Daisy makes the ultimate betrayal, tracking the children to a house in Clayhall. When Romeo refuses to release them, she shoots herself in the stomach. As Romeo rushes to help her, Tiller escapes with the children. Her sacrifice saves them while severing her family ties. In the hospital, she and Julian have a vicious argument, ending with him saying, "Should have let you die on that beach, you ungrateful little shit." Their relationship shatters completely. Daisy moves to a sparse apartment, determined to leave her criminal past. When Christian visits, she asks him to leave with her, but he can't abandon his family obligations, creating an impossible divide. Sometimes our defining moments come when we must choose between loyalty and morality, when our rules no longer protect us from ourselves.